Now, Phil, I think you've got a story all about X-ray crystallography.
Yes, we're talking about Japanese scientists who found a way of doing X-ray crystallography, but without any crystals, which sounds like a bit of a kind of funny thing. But basically what they do is take a molecular sponge, a metal organic framework, and absorb the molecules into that, which means that they order themselves in a kind of regular array and don't need to actually pack into a proper crystal.
Of course, X-ray crystallography is big business. I mean, this is the technique that led Watson and Crick to the structure for DNA, for example.
Yes, and Dorothy Hodgkin for penicillin and vitamin B12 and numerous Nobel Prizes in chemistry for protein crystallography.
So it's a very powerful technique.
Yeah, absolutely, as long as you can crystallise the stuff you want to look at.
And that's been the major stumbling block, hasn't it? Because we just couldn't get crystals of some of the important things we wanted to look at.
Yeah, I mean, particularly a lot of organic molecules. I mean, proteins are a massive example. I mean, this technique isn't quite up to doing proteins yet. They're a bit too big. But small organic molecules, like the ones that you might isolate from plants or from things in the sea where you might be looking for new drugs and things, often are liquids or oils, and they simply won't pack into a crystal because they have long, floppy organic molecules. So if you could absorb them into this molecular organic metal organic framework and get some crystal data, you can actually see the arrangement of the atoms, and you can get information that you just can't get spectroscopically other ways.
What have they looked at so far using this?
Well, they started off with quite simple things like cyclohexanone, which is very, very simple, but they moved up then to a molecule called miacosine A, which is a really long chain of 30 carbon atoms, but it has some bits and bobs hanging off the side, which it's really important to know which orientation they're sticking in. This is a chiral molecule, so it has left-handed and right-handed forms, and you can tell the difference between those by looking at the crystal data.
David. So one of the kind of limitations of crystallography in terms of using real crystals is resolution. So what some people are quite worried about is that if you've got a crystal that's relatively poor quality, you're going to get a very poor crystal structure at the end. So how does it work with this framework? What sort of resolutions can we resolve to?
Okay, well, I'm not sure about the absolute resolution, but the researchers do say that the quality of the data is not quite up to the same as you would get from a proper crystal, but it's, you know, it's better than nothing. If you can't physically crystallize the stuff any other way, then this is better than nothing. It also doesn't use very much material, which is the other benefit. They've been able to get these kind of structures with less than 0.1 of a microgram of material, which again is very useful for things like natural products. If you're having to extract several tons of jellyfish, for example, like to get a few micrograms of stuff, then the more data you can get with that tiny amount of material, the better.
And scientists therefore might be able to sleep a bit easier. And that's a horrible link to